Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Be Bold America. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Our program today is Fox News, Dangerous and Unprincipled. As Bruce Bartlett, Ronald Reagan's domestic policy advisor, said only a few years ago, like someone dying of thirst in the desert, conservatives drank heavily from the Fox waters. And as Pulitzer Prize writer Eugene Robinson titled an article he wrote recently, to save American democracy, truth needs to beat fantasy. We must beat fantasy. Our future depends on it. We have two bold guests today. First, Arthur West is returning to the program. If you remember, Mr. West's nonprofit, the Washington League for Increased Transparency and Ethics, also known as Washlight, sued Fox News, and Mr. West will be giving us an update on the lawsuit in addition to discussing how dangerous and unprincipled Fox News is. And our second bold guest is local activist Ryan Sarnataro. Ryan is a member of the Citizens Climate Lobby and has made it a passion to understand the psychology of why disinformation is so successful. We have big things to do. Arthur, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. And Ryan, welcome to Be Bold America for your first time.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Good. Glad to have you here. Arthur, I'll start with you first. Why don't you give us a background of Washlight's lawsuit to bring, and then bring us up to the current status?
Early this year, we filed a suit against Fox News for disinformation about the coronavirus. They had put on a number of programs calling it a hoax, saying that it was no more dangerous than the flu, telling people it was perfectly safe to fly on the airplanes, and a host of other, things. And they've continued on doing so. So we filed a lawsuit under the Consumer Protection Act saying that Fox News, as a cable content provider, was engaging in unfair and deceptive practices in the context of trade, in that they were selling this content to the cable stations that carry that to, I think, 90% of, or over 90% of all Washington households that have cable have mandatory, you, when you buy cable, you automatically get Fox. So we allege that the case went through hearings in front of the judge in King County. It was dismissed. We filed an appeal, and the
and just to orientate people, Arthur, Washlight is in Washington State, and King County is in Washington State. Go on. I just wanted to orient.
Yes, we're a small nonprofit organization. So the appeal process grinds slowly. We file an opening brief. They file a response. We file a reply to that. The court probably will take it up within the next few months. We can expect a decision, I don't know, somewhere May or June, I would imagine.
So it's right around the corner, really. I mean, I see that a blink away.
It's all relative.
Yes. So, Ryan, Fox News is mainly affirmation, not information, and I don't see how America will ever recover any semblance of living our American values again without something being done about Fox News. What do you think?
Well, I think Fox News is a small part of a large ecosystem where lies provide both financial incentives and political benefits for those who perpetuate them. And so the deeper issue that I see here is how can the average person, or how can the body politic, be more oriented towards truth than tribalistic belief? And so I certainly applaud efforts to go after Fox. They're the kind of the big nose, but there's plenty of other actors there that are just as worthy of reformation.
The big nose we want to punch. Arthur, How do you see us recovering any semblance of living American values with Fox News and your experience with them?
I think our founding fathers had no idea what, you know, television, social media, or any of those things, you know, those advancements. I mean, Benjamin Franklin was still doing, you know, the early experiments with electricity around that time. So what's happened is technology has, you know, the increases in technology or advancements in technology have somewhat outstripped the checks and balances in our social order. So now, instead of people going to, say, coffee houses and talking about politics or getting together at town meetings or you know, passing, you know, sheets printed on a press, we have social media, we have, news agencies like Fox and OAN, One America. I think that this is a radical transformation in how information is, how news in particular is viewed. And for a while, we had news agencies that were mainly truthful. When I was growing up, we had like Walter Cronkite. Most everyone believed him. There weren't two narratives depending on where your politics are. We've come to a point now where there's two distinct views of the world, two distinct narratives, two actual worldviews that don't share much in common depending on your politics. And this has been increasingly fomented by, and Fox News isn't the only one, but they're a big part of the problem. They were one of the first big networks that embarked upon it. So my thought is, I'm not sure how we get back to normal, but this is very dangerous, as the recent, you know, events of January 6th showed. It's very dangerous to have, you know, lies being projected through our political system, because people fired up with lies, you know, can do almost anything.
Well, there's no grounding in common facts anymore, and that's what we lost with the era of Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite, and just the division of these two realities. One, though, seems to be reality-based, and the other is really in a fantasy world. Ryan, you were talking about a much larger problem, and Facebook, I think, is part of that. Do you have any comments regarding Facebook's role, too?
Well, again, Facebook, as sort of a common carrier, is simply the way that that things are projected out there into the public space. Now, yes, there are problems with their algorithms, which are designed to be sticky and provide people with things that they are already attracted to, because simply in the human psyche, people tend to ignore things that go in the opposite direction of their belief and be attracted to things that support their beliefs. And the Facebook algorithms drive people to similar content to what they've already consumed that they seem to like. And so, yeah, I see problems in that, but the deeper problem, again, has to do with the consumer. It has to do with the individual. How can we move people away from the tribalism, or however you want to characterize it, that makes them susceptible to believing lies and to then promulgating those lies? And then as you get kind of deeper into the dark edges of this, as you get into the QAnon zone, they then become resistant to any kind of information that's at all different from what their beliefs already are, regardless of how factual they are.
Well, there seems to be a real formula to Fox News and right-wing media in attracting something in the, what I call the lizard brain, you know, that amygdala, where there's fear, and they seem to just zero right into that. I don't know if you've seen the documentary, The Brainwashing of My Dad, but it is excellent because it was done by a daughter who loved her father and knew her father to be a nice, kind, generous man. And he took a job that required his commuting in his car, and he got hooked on Rush Limbaugh, and that then at home he turned on Fox News, and he completely changed. His wife and the daughter didn't even recognize him anymore. The racism he never showed before was there, and he literally had a personality alteration. And the only way they were able to get him back, I find this fascinating, is they moved, and they told him that the cable channel didn't get Fox News, so he didn't watch it anymore, and they got him back. To the person that they knew, there was some kind of hold. I don't know. I'm tossing that, I guess, to Ryan. What are your thoughts on that? That there's just some kind of hold that grabs people that watch this. And I think it's more than tribalism.
Well, what you're describing there is the solution that Facebook and Twitter applied to Trump, which is, you cut off the source, and all of a sudden the attachment to the narrative starts to degenerate. So, or decay is probably a better way.
Better
to
word.
So, yeah, and I think that in the context of people's attachment to these ideas, that attachment is always going to be based to some extent on community. And again, if you take them out of the community that is supportive and supportive and supportive of those beliefs, then something else can emerge out of the person. And you'll find that, and this is kind of my fundamental thesis, is that deep down inside on an evolutionary level, people are organized around the truth. That is, truth is a survival mechanism. Understanding what's real is your way to avoid being eaten by something that wants to eat you. And so in the longer arc of engaging with these people, keep in mind that deep down inside, there is something that is recognizing that something is amiss, how deeply buried it may be.
You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online from the KSQD.org homepage, or catch up on Be Bold America shows by visiting the KSQD webpage, or subscribe free to our podcast using your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
KSQD thanks the following donors who support our wonderful programs with their recurring monthly contributions: Dean Silvers, Carla Sona, Stephen Sveti, Krista Taylor, and Joe Williams. You inspire us to give our very best at 90.7 FM. May you also inspire others to donate on our website, ksqd.org.
Today, our topic is Fox News, Dangerous and Unprincipled. We're speaking with Arthur West, whose nonprofit, the Washington League for Increased Transparency and Ethics, is suing Fox News, and Ryan Sarnataro, a local community activist whose deep interest is understanding the psychology of why disinformation is so successful. Arthur, do you have any thoughts before we go on what Ryan was talking about?
Yes. This is an old formula, and Fox isn't the first one to use it. It was perhaps most successfully used by the Nazi Party in the old Weimar Republic, when there were a lot of people were unhappy about economic conditions, just as today there's a lot of, you know, white males over the age of 35 who are very unhappy about their place in the economy. And this is a fertile ground for this type of disinformation that says the reason we're not great, the reason you're not successful, is the fault of the other, you know, whether it's the Jews, whether it's the blacks, whether it's the socialists. And like today in the old Weimar Republic, we had a democratic institutions, and we had an assault. There was an assault on those by pretty much a fabric of lies, saying the Jewish people were responsible for all the problems, saying that there was a stab in the back. And there was even other parallels, such as the there's commonality, such as the old beer hall putsch, which is pretty much, you know, similar to what happened on January 6th. A bunch of
basically lumpen proletariat people got together with being egged on by a charismatic leader figure and tried to take over the government, literally. And I think that's a outgrowth of the propaganda, and it's also an outgrowth of a weakening democratic system being plagued by the forces of capitalism in a decaying capitalist state where there's a lot of angry people who are know that something's wrong and they can't really figure it out, and they're just ripe for someone like Trump to come and say, the reason you're living in a trailer isn't that you're not educated, it isn't that that our economy is for hell, it's because the Mexicans and the black people are coming and stealing your job. And that resonates especially deeply due to, you know, the tribalistic, primitive portions of our brains that link with, you know, small groups and identify with strong leaders. But it also has a very fertile field because of the declining economy, and it's a problem that capitalism declines into fascism, and the Foxes pretty much, and OAN and Newsmax, are pretty much like the Volkisch Baobacter or the Berlin Zeitung. They're the propaganda elements, propaganda organs of a fascist order trying to parlay people's discontent with the systems into an autocracy.
Well, also I wanted to say, Ryan, if you have a question for Arthur, or Arthur, you have a question for Ryan, just blurt it out. But getting back to Ryan, I agree with you. I think people want the truth and are wanting to seek the truth. I also think there are some that are past that. They don't want the truth. And the reason I'm thinking about that right now is that I was giving a presentation to the Monterey Citizen Climate Lobby, as a matter of fact, and I was sharing with them that Fox News does not have a standards and ethics department. You know, all the journalistic departments, ABC, NBC, New York Times, MSNBC, you know, all the journalistic organizations have a standards and ethics department. Fox News never has. Roger Ailes never set one up. They don't have one today. And the gentleman who was coordinating the meeting on Zoom was saying that, you know, the friends that he knows that wouldn't care about that. They don't care, Fox, that they don't have standards and ethics. It's just a non-issue for them. And then I was thinking, a lot of people need to hold on to the lie, because if they don't, that, you know, hold on to their fantasy, if it's exposed, then they have to face that they've been played for decades for profit. What do you think about that, Ryan?
I think that Arthur did a good job of talking about the aggrievement as a motivation for people. And what you're talking about there is why they would stay in the position that they're already in. And yes, it's very psychologically sticky and difficult to at some point admit that you were wrong and to change your position. One of the things that I get from my Trump friends is a continuous barrage of what I would call projection. They're always saying that the Democrats cheat while it's the Republicans that are doing the voter suppression. They say the Democrats are involved in terror. As soon as the incursion into the Capitol happened, they were telling me there's Antifa people in that crowd, and or Black Lives Matter people. And that need to be able to say that the other side is doing what they're doing without recognizing what they're doing is really just another ego-protective mechanism. And when I talk about that truth detector, I'm talking about something really deep. And it's not something that you're going to dig out with facts, and it's not really something you're going to dig out with dialogue necessarily. But nonetheless, I see it as there.
How does it get dug out then? we can't use facts and reasoning and conversation?
It's going to have to be coaxed out, and it's going to have to be coaxed out in the context of relationship. And I say that because in my own small world, where I'm in constant dialogue with old friends who are deeply in this universe, even on the Q end of things, maintaining that level of personal connection, which ultimately runs deeper than political belief, I think is an important aspect to always providing these folks with some level of connection to another view. And what kind of triggers might move them? I've been singularly unsuccessful in that. But what I have been successful in is maintaining the connections and not devolving into hatred of the other simply because our views of what is true are diametrically opposed.
You know, that's interesting that I don't feel I hate them, but I sure feel hated. Before I turn to you, Arthur, I did want to just say that Frank Luntz, you know, the Republican pollster, did a very recent poll with Trump voters after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. And he found that 78% of the Trump voters agree with Trump that the election was stolen, that 61% will never again trust the results of an American election, 64% believe the traditional way of life is disappearing so fast that force may have to be used to save it. And just what you were talking about, Ryan, that who was most responsible for that insurrection? Number one was Antifa. This is the Trump voters, 21%. Then it was Democrats at 17%, so that's 38%. Media got 11%. I mean, there just isn't any ownership of their actions. I want to turn it over to you for the next 5 minutes or so before our next break. Arthur, your thoughts?
Well, the psychology of all of this is very interesting, and Brian might know more than I do on this, but they've done studies and they found that people are almost more inclined to spread lies on social media than the truth, and lies are more often more attractive. It gets to the point where people buy into a narrative and it becomes part of their ego. And so it isn't when you're attacking Trump, it's them. Okay, they don't have the distance from the emotional distance from it to say this is politics. They are, you know, viscerally bound into a narrative to the point where it threatens their ego. If you try to say something about Trump, it's saying something bad about them. And this projection is also a psychological thing that was used very effectively by the Nazis. You know, they projected onto the Jews all the evils of society. They projected onto Poland when they wanted to invade Poland. They staged a fake attack from Poland to a German radio station and said that Germany was only defending itself from the international, you know, aggression from Poland. This is projections, a very powerful psychological thing that if you start accusing your opponent of doing what you're doing, it's hard for people to cut through to figure out who's doing what, because both sides are, you know, what Rupert Murdoch was very good at was what he called flooding the zone, which is there's an informational zone and there's, you know, in the past there would be mostly truthful information. What Fox News and these other outlets do is they flood the informational zone with so much disinformation that it is very difficult even for, you know, savvy people to really figure out what's going on. There's so much accusations back and forth, the truth gets lost. So the human mind, I think, is designed for you know, a pretty much tribal existence. And that's why, as you know, Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, people in the masses revere a strong leader, revere a leader who you know, doesn't admit mistakes, doesn't admit defeat. There's a very primitive part of our human psyche that responds to all of the types of things that Trump put forward and the type of things that Fox and some of its speakers and its you know, it's the people on Fox try to project that, and they keep a scare going. They're always saying that the communists, the people who aren't white, the communists are coming and the Democrats are coming to invade your territory. They're going to put, you know, they're going to ruin the suburbs. They're going to, you know, do everything. I mean, there was the accusations they made about what would happen if Democrats won were so overblown as to be ludicrous, but people believed them, and they believed them in part because of this tribal psychology that humans have to want to divide into little groups and have a strong leader. And I think that's part of what the problem is. And I'd be interested just to hear what Brian has opinion on that is.
Ryan, next couple of minutes, do you have an idea on that?
On flooding the zone, you've got two different motivations there. One of them is to get your ideas across, but the other one, which was really first used by the Russian troll factories against the Russian population as a whole when their internet was relatively free 10 years ago, is to basically get all of the good people so disgusted with the swamp that they just turn away. And therefore, you end up with only your people having the dialogue. That's, I think, when you start to look at this strategically in that way, if you're looking at it simply as, you know, how's Fox going to make money, you know, Rupert Murdoch has been doing this for decades and destroying people's lives as he's gone along, and that hasn't been his problem at all. I maybe you're coming up to a break, but I do think that a core issue here is the loss of trust in institutions and the idea that the American government is the enemy, started with Ronald Reagan or Howard Jarvis maybe, is an important part of the psychology of how things have fallen apart, but it is also part of the opportunity about how to put things back together, because many of the principled people who are conservatives also believe in a democratic republic, and on some level they believe that it's our government, and so, you know, that's why it's take back our government. And if we can convince them that they can take back our government in a way that is objectively honest, then we might be on the same path here.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Our topic is Fox News, Dangerous and Unprincipled. And we're speaking with Arthur West, whose nonprofit, the Washington League for Increased Transparency and Ethics, is suing Fox News, and Ryan Sarnataro, a local community activist whose deep interest is understanding the psychology of why disinformation is so successful. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
Hello, K-Squid listeners. I'm Tom Hartman, and each weekday at 4 p.m., I bring you a different perspective on the news than you're likely to hear on most media outlets. Please join me on KSQD Santa Cruz, your ink spot on the dial for the Tom Hartman program, heard now for the first time ever in the Monterey Bay Area at 90.7 FM, weekdays at 4 p.m. That's Progressive Talking Conversation with me, Tom Hartman, weekdays at 4 p.m. on KSQD 90.7 FM. Tag, you're it.
Now, back to our bold and impressive guests, Arthur West and Ryan Sarnataro. Now, you know, what's interesting is that I read the book Ailes, The Loudest Voice in the Room by Gabe Sherman. And one thing is that it was Fox News was never meant to be a journalism a news organization. It was always meant to be a propaganda station, because he wrote a 16-point strategy plan to Nixon on how to use television as a propaganda tool. And Ailes' quote was, "We have no obligation to tell the viewer anything, not to our advantage." And as a former Fox News producer said, ratings are the only thing that matters. It's just ratings and profit that these, and they know lies sell. Lies and conspiracies really sell. And I, in preparing for this interview, I watched Fox News a little bit on Friday, and the show that I watched was called Outnumbered, and it was already right there. Outnumbered makes people feel like they're a victim. You know, they have a grievance because there's not enough of them to fight, you know, for what they believe in. And one person that was being interviewed was talking about the path when the Democrats take over Congress, there's very dangerous move is going to happen. They're going to pass H.R. 1, which, if people don't know what that bill is, it's House Resolution 1. It's the plan to expand voter rights, you know, having soul to the polls type of voting, expanding the length of time of voting, and ensuring that more people can easily vote. There's lots of ideas there, but it was a dangerous move because it didn't do anything about voter fraud. And we know there's no such thing as voter fraud, but yet that is a big straw man that is used on Fox. And he was also talking about Biden taking the White House, using that phrase, and that Democrats are going to cancel us all. So again, you know, talking about ethics again, Ryan, what are your thoughts about how they use their language to make people feel like victims when they may not be at all?
Yes, you can think of the Trump tax cuts, which gave a very small amount to lower-income individuals and the vast majority to the wealthy. And if you ask those Republican voters, that won't matter to them, because they're not going to go that deep into the facts. It's the storyline that's the most attractive part here. And I think when you talk about Ailes' kind of amorality, it's not really amorality. It's a strategy for power. And because...
And profit.
They indeed. And, well, yes, yes. On Ailes' part, he was probably more interested in political power. And Rupert Murdoch could see that his political power would also be profitable. And it is true that that there is a part of the Democratic agenda that does wish to cancel these folks because they are, at this point in the American experiment, unfairly represented as a majority or close to majority in congressional in Congress and in state houses, when indeed they are a minority of the population. And so they're deathly afraid that a reckoning is coming for their, you could say, apartheid, for their ability to be in power unfairly.
Well, I don't like to use their terminology because it just instills it further. I don't know what they really mean by cancel, but what we want them to do is to join reality again. But they feel like they would be, I guess, ignored that way. Arthur, you want to jump in?
I think the thing we got to realize is people make their own realities. And once that's hooked into their ego, it's very hard to crack through. And it doesn't necessarily have a direct relation to objective truth or, you know, the common shared reality. Up till fairly recently, though, we all as Americans used to have a commonly shared reality that our democracy and the American Republic was more important than political tribes. After an election, the traditional thing is after an election, both candidates shake hands and give speeches for everyone to support the one that they just lost to.
that doesn't happen as much anymore. But if you look up till the last couple elections, that was happening. The losing candidate would shake hands with the other one, say, now, you know, we're done campaigning and it's time to move forward. And I'd like to point out that our recent problems would have been a lot worse if there weren't a number of principled Republicans who, at great political cost to themselves, came out and said, essentially, American democracy is more important than the political narrative that Trump is pushing. In fact, Pence himself wrote a very eloquent letter after the attack. And it's, you know, he should have said stuff like that before, but the American democracy is more important than political things back and forth. And that's one of the things I think that we've lost, and one of the things that we need to reinstill into people at a very young age, that democracy is important, and our democratic system and the checks and balances that keep it in place are fundamental to the right of everyone to be able to vote and to be heard. And that is something that if we don't succeed in instilling into the young people and into old people as well, that I think could cause our entire system to crash. You know, it was this last assault of authoritarianism came fairly close, much closer than we would have liked to actually succeeding. And we have a situation now where nearly a third of Americans are not hooked into our democracy. They don't believe in the democratic process. And so we have a lot of work ahead to do if we're going to preserve this democracy for another 200 years, like, yes, it's existed so far.
Well, there was a Snap poll that showed that 45% of Republicans think the violence on January 6th was perfectly acceptable. That represents about 21% of all Americans. So one in five thought what happened on the 6th was acceptable. And I guess that just supports what you were talking about, Arthur, that they're so disenfranchised from democracy.
Well, hopefully that will be like the old hardliners in the Soviet Union, and they'll die off quick, you know, over time, and you know, the next 10 or 20 years we'll have a more egalitarian society. But the fact, yeah, it's very scary that a good portion of our populace not only takes in this propaganda, but, you know, believes in it. And it's a very dire threat to the to our American system that's existed for quite some time, and I'm not sure exactly how to cure it. But in Germany, they have specific laws that prohibit undermining the democratic social order, and I'd like to see some strengthened laws in America that. Can address that without treading on our hallowed constitutional rights, that would actually get to the heart of this type of basically fomenting insurrection.
Well, you know, another thing about the title of this show is Fox News, Dangerous and Unprincipled. And I mentioned that AL said that Fox News has no obligation to tell the viewer anything, not to Fox News's advantage, which to me is unprincipled. But he also said in that White House plan to Nixon that people are lazy. With TV, you just have to sit, watch, and listen, and the thinking is done for you. And they really have taken that to heart, is telling people what they should think. And he also said that viewers don't want to be informed, they want to feel informed. Now, Ryan, you were talking about the answer being in relationship earlier. How can we use our relationships with people that are part of this fantasy world to bring them back to our families? Like, for instance, with the brainwashing of my dad, they were able to the community was stronger than the family. The family had to go to great lengths to literally tell him, we don't get it. They pulled the plug. The wife actually went onto his computer and deleted all the Fox News and Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and all the information that he had on his computer as well. But you talked about relationship. How can we use that more?
Yeah, and I just to kind of reformulate what you were just saying there, one of Trump's favorite famous phrases was, I love the poorly educated. And the uneducated, low-information voters, while they're not that whole 21%, there's plenty of well-educated people in there, they're a good part of it. And so the question about how to get through to those people generally doesn't involve information, because that isn't the ecology within which they operate. And as I said a little bit earlier, I think that if we can find institutions and external forces that we both agree it is useful and good for them to be strong and powerful, then that gives us some kind of common ground on which to then expand our area of agreement about reality. And a good example is the military and the police, where one of the biggest shocks in the insurrection was the fact that the right wing folks who were doing the invasion really threw the police off the bus. They became the enemy instead of part of the important part of their coalition. And I think that that has the potential to split even the most deeply committed folks, because they recognize that law and order, and they recognize the importance of the police to society. And I think that if we are able to then expand that, whether it's next Medicare, and it's not like get the government out of my Medicare, but it's actually understanding what Medicare is, this tremendous intergenerational subsidy that's sending rivers of money to older Americans from younger. If we are able to then expand these areas in this Venn diagram of agreement about institutions, then I think that we can start to chip away at the falsities that are divisive.
Well, you raised something in my mind that I'll mention after this break. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM, many voices, one station. Listen globally online from the KSQD.org homepage, or listen to the show's podcast on KSQD.org's Be Bold America's webpage. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
Join KSQD tonight at 6 p.m. for Reflections on Buddhism, featuring the Venerable Tenzin, a local Buddhist nun and teacher. The tradition of making New Year's resolutions has similarities to the Buddhist practice of setting a motivation before any activity. Yet, there are also important differences. Many of us found our plans and goals for 2020 completely upended by the COVID pandemic. As the crisis drags on, we're left with practical questions about making plans and setting goals when there's so much uncertainty. Hear about the Buddhist practice of setting your motivation and how it can help define your aspirations and intentions for the year in a resilient way that builds adaptability to our ever-changing circumstances. That's Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. on 90.7 FM, K-Squid, many voices, one station.
Today, our topic is Fox News, Dangerous and Unprincipled, and we're speaking with Ryan Sarnataro, a local community activist whose deep interest is understanding the psychology of why disinformation is so successful, and Arthur West, whose nonprofit, the Washington League for Increased Transparency and Ethics, is suing Fox News. And what I just wanted to share when you were talking, Ryan, it came to my mind, is that people in this fantasy world, as Eugene Robinson was mentioning, that for American democracy to survive, we have to beat the fantasy, and is that the tool of demonization. people have been in this world, this parallel universe. Government has been demonized. Science has been demonized. Immigrants have been demonized. Democrats have been demonized. I saw a T-shirt during the 2016 election. Better Russian than Democrat. Media has been demonized. Universities have been demonized. You can just basically go down the list. And so that it really, that's the dangerous part, is the message from Fox News and the right-wing pages on Facebook, which, by the way, I heard Media Matters analyze that not a single day last year did the right wing not have less than 55 to 65% of the shared voice messages, the messages on Facebook. The balance was a little bit of left messaging and the news. So they're really able to drive that right wing meme, if you will. And so, you know, with that demonization, they've been boxed in more and more and more. And that's, I think you were also talking, maybe Arthur was, about trusting the institutions. Any thoughts about how demonization is used as a tool for in their psychology?
Well, demonization has its evolutionary roots in fear of the other.
Mm.
And defining the other is useful psychologically so that you can stay within the bounds of your tribe. And that's why I say that we have to find places where there is a common interest in non-demonization.
Mm-hmm.
There's a common interest in the emergence of trust. Yes, they are in a fantasy world. But the question for engagement with them is, are you going to think in your mind that they're idiots and fools, or are you going to think in your mind that they are ignorant?
Mm-hmm.
And ignorant in the Buddhist sense, which is not as much of a pejorative. It's a not knowing. It's an immaturity. It's a lack of growth. And then if you can approach that with that sort of Buddhist compassion, then you're able to at least, again, create some sort of deep emotional common ground whereby you can try whatever strategies you might try to generate the common ground that's going to allow people to emerge from the shell that they're in.
Well,
and I think...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that, again, you've got the split between the conservatives and then the conspiracy people, the QAnon people. There you end up with the issues that surround cults and how, you know, Jim Jones can get 1,000 people to commit suicide. And there you've got different and deeper psychological issues that go beyond finding common ground to instead finding a common God.
Mm. Now, over to you, Arthur. Any responses or thoughts?
Well, I see that a lot of what Fox and OAN and their ilk work with is a constant state of agitation and fear. I mean, if you look at the speakers, they're all animated. There's always some travesty of justice or something horrible going on that they have to, you know, basically shout over the airwaves about. And when people are scared, they don't think, you know, it's that primitive area of your brain determining whether to fight, run, or fight. And part of the problem is they have inculcated this permanent sense of unease and fear. And if you watch it enough, you're pretty much immersed in this to the point where you're always, you know, you're a reactionary. You're always reacting to this fear, this thought that a Mexican is going to take your job, that the righteous place of the white man at the center of the universe and the head of the economic system is going to be taken away.
you know, the communists are going to come and ruin the suburbs. This type of fear, you know, spreading fear, saying, you know, the Democrats are going to ruin our country. That's at the bottom of all this. And, you know, no man thinks themselves wrong or evil, mm-hmm. or very few. The thing we can't lose sight of is that, you know, this one third or one quarter of the American population, they're, you know, human beings too. They have families. They, you know, probably have pets that they treat well. I mean, Adolf Hitler treated his dog nicely. There's a remnant of humanity and a good deal of humanity in every person. And I think we need to try to relate to that common humanity. And, you know, there's a box in these.
Arthur, this sounds like you're segueing just right into, because we're coming towards the end of the program, right into the keep, stop, start. Do you have some ideas on what people should keep doing, stop doing, and start doing, what our listeners might consider?
Unfortunately, my role in this process is not so much fixing things as just trying to keep the worst things from happening. So I don't really have solutions, but my thought is if we can get back, if you can deal with people on a individual basis and try to recognize commonalities between everyone, we need to do a lot better in breaking down the barriers and this wall of belief between the Democrats and the Republicans. And I think if it were properly pointed out to people, they might realize that the Republican economic policy is not helping out the majority of the people that vote Republican. Giving more money to the corporations doesn't do a lot to help the working class. And the Democrats used to be the party of the working class. And what is unique in modern politics is now, through this demonization of the other and blaming our economic problems on immigrants and the non-whites, we've come to a point where the very people who are being harmed most by, you know, the unfettered tax cuts to the corporations and pretty much the Republican economic policies are the ones voting for them.
Right.
And
right. Let me turn to Ryan. Ryan, do you have some suggestions what listeners can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing?
Well, for keep doing, you want to keep informed about what's going on. You want to know what the other side is thinking and being and doing, and you want to be able to do that without getting traumatized by it. And then the next keep doing is if you've got any relationships with anybody in that other world, keep those relationships going. Stop doing things that offend other people's egos, regardless of how difficult it is, and be aware of how fragile the ego is of people who live their lives in lies. In terms of start doing, like I've said before, start finding the common grounds in the objective reality that we all inhabit that will allow the growth of trust, because the biggest thing that's happening here, the biggest difference between now and when I was a kid, like with Walter Cronkite, is the erosion of trust. And there's plenty of good reasons why we don't trust the government. I mean, we were McNamara'd into submission, and it wasn't right. But nonetheless, there's still something there to be that's worth growing, worth holding on to, that's indeed sacred in our secular context here in America.
Well, and trust, first you have to be trustworthy. And Fox News isn't trustworthy. I don't think Facebook is trustworthy. The social media, if you saw the documentary, The Social Dilemma, it's very frightening about what social media's impact is on our society and in the future. So it's building trust and trying to get our institutions and our corporations like Facebook to be more trustworthy as well. Thank you so much, Arthur West and Ryan Sarnataro. Thank you so much. I love this discussion, and I'm sure our listeners did too. And I think we're all struggling with family members and friends that are in this this alternative universe. I want to thank Be Bold America's program engineer, Emily Donham, and give another big thank you to today's terrific and bold guests, Arthur West and Ryan Sarnataro. Thank you so much, you guys. Next, on Sunday, January 31st, Be Bold America will host for the entire program a very special guest. He's the number one progressive radio talk show host and New York Times bestselling author of 26 books, and I'm talking about Tom Hartman. He will be talking to us about his newest book, The Hidden History of American Oligarchy, Reclaiming Our Democracy from the Ruling Class. This latest book is the latest book in his Hidden History series. It looks at history of the battle against oligarchy in America and how we can win the latest round. But we won't let him get away without asking his thoughts on the attack on the Capitol by fellow Americans and how we can possibly move forward with 74 million Americans having voted for someone that's anti-democracy and voted against democracy. That Sunday, January 31st at 5 p.m., you're listening to KSQD 90.7 FM Santa Cruz. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online at ksqd.org. Stay tuned for Reflections on Buddhism with Ven Tenzin Choki and Patrick McGinn. My name is Jill Cody, and thank you for listening to Be Bold America. Until next time, keep, stop, start.